Session number 11038, Reel 10.
Mr. Bill Towers, Reel 10. So what happened at the end of your tailoring course? How qualified were you? How good were you as a tailor?
I qualified.
Was
I passed the exam, I qualified, and they gave me a £10 cheque and a kit of tools for qualifying. And that's it. And when I went for a job, fella laughed at me. This is... Amp tailoring's gone out of date.
What tailoring?
Amp tailoring.
Hand tailoring, yes.
And this is gone out of date. It's going to all be machine work. So I thought, my God, I'm stumped again. Learned another, passed another trade and out of date. And I couldn't get a job. Anyway, somebody asked me, a brother-in-law asked me to go and collect some money for a firm. Travellers used to take stuff out with them and sell it, and cash. And that, and it had £200. He said, would you mind taking it up to our shop for me tomorrow? Because I don't like leaving it in the house. I said, well, I'll go if you seal it up. So I went to this shop and asked for this Mr. Gaunt. And they said, yes, come in. I told him, oh, yes, come sit down. Albert said about it, told us about it. He said, but first of all, he said, he's asked me to bring you that. Will you check it, that it hadn't been opened and all like that? And he said, oh, he said, it's all right. And he checked it, that's all right. And he started talking about different things and what did I do? And I told him I was making these patterns for that. And he said to me, manager was there, and he was a university-trained engineer, and he was manager. And he said, oh, Sam, go fetch me them coal boxes we have, plaster ones. So he brought them.
These are things you kept coal in?
Yeah, cores. Coal boxes, you make cores for castings, the inside of a casting.
Oh, for metalwork?
Metalwork.
Sorry, I didn't coal. Misheard you there.
No, coal box.
Coal, yeah.
You make this here core, it lays in the... in the mould, and then they put the other half on, and then run metal in. It runs round that.
And what sort of things was it to make?
Valves and like that, and siphons and all sorts like that. Sanitary ware.
Right. So.
And he said, could you make those? Oh, God, yes. I said, I had a labourer. When I was working doing that mould, I made the original thing for to be moulded, and then they'd do that mould. I said, I can do them. Oh, that's good. So, nothing happened. I hadn't my leg on then. I hadn't got it. And then I went away, and when I got the leg, they sent for me. My brother-in-law came. He said, oh, Mr. Gaunt would like to see you when he got your leg. So I went to see him. And they had a talk. He said, he'd offered me a job. Well, any job would have suited me. I'd have taken anything. And he offered me this job, and the manager of the works, he was an engineer, he said, now I'll teach you the engineering part, and you can do the pattern job. I said, yes, I manage that. I said, right. And it was fixed up that I'd go work for them. Oh, I thought, this is lovely. No, but I had to go about 5 or 6 miles every morning on 2 trams and walk a lot and catch a tram and then walk again to catch another tram, and then walk again to go in there, and had to be there for 8 on the morning. So it was pretty hard work, and I had to work. And this here engineer fella, I think he resented me going, because I went straight out of one bad lot to another. It was Kirkstall, another village next to Branley, and they were just as clannish as Branley. And they resented me being there, because I wasn't a Kirkstall man, I was a foreigner again. My brother-in-law worked in office, but he wasn't at work, they didn't like me. And when they put me on a machine to show me, and when I went to the toilet, it all stops at back, they don't do them like that. There's one watching out, right, undo it, stop. Well, you went on work, and they wasn't right. They do all sorts of tricks like that to you. Ought to upset you.
Even though you'd lost your leg?
No, they didn't care, couldn't care less. They'd never be slept out of their own bed. War was a pleasure to them. They were sorry when it was over. And that. Anyway, and they were clannish, and they know. I was getting on nicely there, and we come to it at a short period, a time, short trade, bad trade. And they sacked one of the young fellas, because they were always lacking about that. So he sacked him. And there was a three tradesmen, the joiner, the moulder, the lead burner. They were three stars. And they held them up to ransom what they said they could do, you know, and that. Anyway, they sacked this man, and I saw these three go up to the office one day, past me, and went up. And they come back, looking downhearted. And then I went up. I got to know they'd been up as a deputation to see if I couldn't be sacked and let the other fella stay on. So the boss said to me, he said, I've news for you. He says, Willie will be here when you've all gone. He says, we'll never sack Willie. We'll sack you first. So they were upset over it because I was proving too useful for them. They had to depend on outside firms for do what jobs I could do. And I got from bottom to top. I was got to be the boss of them. And then another war comes out, and I'm put back again. They couldn't take me in the army, and they couldn't take the boss because he was too old. But Ed Boss had died, managing, being made managing director. They couldn't take him. So we two were right, we can carry on doing it, with, not officially. But they make that fella manager and that fella foreman and that. And that's how it worked. It were only going to last a week or two, but it lasted 6 years. And they grew into the job. They wanted me to carry on doing. Then my boss telling me, never told me what to do, but bring me orders, do it, and come back to me after. And it went on like that, so finisher got fed up to the teeth with it. The old lady, boss's wife, it was her place, but they made it a limited company. And the
solicitor... What was the name of the company?
Valdez Siphon Company, Kirkstall. There was a solicitor, accountant, and the manager. Made it a limited company. Then the manager died, and my brother-in-law, it was a part-time traveller and part-time clerk, he didn't know anything about works. He became manager, and that went on like that. Then he died. Oh, he said a nephew of his had been in the army, and he come out. He says, I'm thinking about bringing him in. I says, where? He says, in the office. I says, I ain't have him in the office. He ain't coming down here. I don't want him down here. He said, no. He said, I'm in the office. Tell me. Well, what are we going to do to help him? He'd nothing to do. Because when orders came in, he brought them to me. And next news, they were all ready, and I took them up there. Oh, that's what we're going, make an invoice. All they had to do was make invoices. I did all work. So he brought him in to help him, to write invoices up. Eventually, he died, his brother-in-law. This fella, an old lady, left it when she died to a great-great-nephew. And he only knew... He was manager of holiday camp, Caravanserai. And he used to come twice a week, and it was terrible. I said, look, I'm due to retire. He said, so I'm not going to be here so long. He said, oh, please don't retire. If you retire, we've had it. I said, no, well, I'll stop on a bit. And he came one day, he said, now then, he said, my son's leaving grammar school this term. He said, if I bring him, will you teach him the job? Well, I said, I'll teach him as much as I can while he's here, while I'm here. Right, so he sent him. Oh, it was a little horror. It's my father's business, you know, and all that attitude. Anyway, I went back one day. You couldn't get him to work. He was always calling to others and stopping others. And went back one lunch, after lunch, and he was working it on a bench. And just laying, I said, what are you doing? He says, I'm altering design of this. I says, you what? He says, I'm altering design of this. Well, I says, he don't even know what it's for. Doesn't matter, it's my father's works, I can do what I like. I says, right. I'll give you your last order now. I says, go on that telephone and ring your dad and tell your dad I've gone home, you're taking charge. I walked out. They didn't last 3 months. And it'd been open since 1896. That's it. So, two wars up Skittlemain.
Now, I just wanted to get a bit of chronology right, because you said that when you left the army, or while you were in the army, you went to this course. Now, yes. That's before you got your leg, was it, when you were doing the tailoring course?
Yes. Yes, it would be, because we sat on the boards, tailoring.
So, and you did that, and then you went to this place where you were measured for your leg?
Yes.
So that happened after that? It's just we got it in the wrong order?
Yes, I think. I just forget now. Yes, it...
Because you said you hadn't got your leg when you first went to the...
Tailing, no, I had a leg. Or else I left it. I don't know whether I left it up or not, because...
Oh, you mean you might just not have had it on that day?
When I went tailing, I hadn't it on, you see. You couldn't sit on the board with it.
So...
With this leg on.
You had got your leg when you were working
Tailoring, yes.
But you just didn't wear it.
Wear it.
Gotcha. Right. Now, the other thing I just wanted to ask you quickly was about your work with Blesma, which is where we are today, British Limbless Exercise.
Well, we used to get to know all limbless men. Somehow or other we could tell one another there's something going off at so-and-so. And one night a chap went, oh, Bill, there's going to be a meeting at Town Hall on such and such a day. We're going to form a union. Right, I'll be there. And we went. And there's a chap there signing you in as a member of Blesma. Lesma, not Blesma, Lesma. Limbless Ex-Servicemen. And that was before we became British. Anyway, he signed you in, you paid your shilling entrance fee and that. They give you a little button, white button with LS on, in red. And that, we had this meeting, and there was several officers all sat there, ex-officers, you know, accountants and solicitors and barristers, you name it. They're all big people. And we were down here, the common troops.
Were they limbless as well, the ones?
Yes, oh yes.
So it was everyone was limbless?
Limbless, yes.
Oh, had long limbs.
Yes. Either a leg, arm or an eye out. And that's it. Anyway, Mr. Cyril Stevens, he was an accountant for Waddington's, you know, Waddington's. He was their financial director. Anyway, he said, first of all, gentlemen, and welcome to him, all this sort of. And he said, what you'll have to do is propose somebody as chairman. So we were having a lot of trouble with limb fitting people in them days. This was in 1930. They were putting it on cheap legs and all sorts of stuff. Anyway, when we went, he said, will you somebody nominate somebody for chairman? Some bright spark said, it must have been cut and dry. I propose Mr. Holden. And the fellow said, I second that, right? Anybody else?
Who's no. Mr. Holden?
Now, this is the funny part. Mr. Holden was a fitter of the cheap leg in Chapel Allerton. And he said, now we'll have to have a secretary. Will somebody propose a secretary? They proposed Holden's yes man for secretary. So that was it, like a work, big factory, forming a union and putting the manager in, manager as chairman of union. So their debate. Well, I said, of all the ridiculous things, I said, I've finished, I'm going out. And I never went no more for a long time. And then the war came on.
Anyway, what troubles were... I'll come back to the thing. That's the formation, and you were there at the start, but you took no part. Now, what were the troubles you were having about the fitting? Did you have trouble?
Yes. A day, we used to have a leg called De Souter, made by a firm, a beautiful leg. And then all of a sudden, they put you on a cheap leg.
Now, how often would you need to change your leg?
Well, it varied. If it was you wanted a repair, and it would cost over a certain percentage, they scrapped it. But I went up for a repair, and the doctor always said, I think we'll have to scrap that, you'll have to have a new one.
And about how often would that happen?
Oh, 5 or 6 years.
Quite a long time.
Yes, oh, yeah. And Well, this is actually 1960s, this leg now. And anyway, I went to get this new leg measured. And I'd, no, I'd seen the doctor, it's give me the chit to go down to the fitting centre. I went down and this holding took the paper. And I'd objected to him being chairman. And I said, but I don't want one of your legs. He says, you bloody well have to have one, I'd do without. I thought, thank you, why? He says, because you can't have any other. So he made me a leg and it never fit me. And I told him, he said, you were so and so awkward. He said, but I finished up in hospital. Ruined my stump, etc.
The rubbing?
Yes, it was such a bad fit, it caused abscesses.
And you couldn't trim it away? Or
no, I couldn't. They couldn't.
What was a bad fit? I mean, can you just explain it?
Well, it isn't the right shape for you. You see, there's a standard shape for a man, but you aren't all the standard. And it didn't fit me. And it was nipping here, like flesh, all the time you were walking. And it caused abscesses. Like that. And eventually I went up and had to go into hospital to have an operation for them taken out. And the very first, while I was in there, the ward was full, 32 beds was full. And all the hospital, it was up, there's five wards and they're all full. And there were quite a few of them with this here trouble. And all of a sudden, they started bed patients bringing them ashtrays to polish, everything was brass. And if you're up pace, walking about, you had to clean radiator taps, polishing everything. We thought royalty was coming round. Anyway, went on like that. And then the great day came when we were all in white, a clean shirt and tie, in bed with her, sat there to attention. And then we were up, stood at the side of the bed. And we went on like that. We were expecting royalty, queen or somebody coming, and the king or something. Anyway, door opening came a man. Didn't know him. Then followed by two, followed by three. And I don't know, do you call it echelon? They were coming like that. And he went to the first bed and he said, "Now, young man, how are you?" "Very well, sir." I thought, "Oh, that's nice." "Now, man." We were having a chat with him and then went to the next. "How are you?" "Very well, sir." Well, there's a chap next to me, his father at fairgrounds, Morley, fairground people. And he said to me, "Aren't there a lot of hypocrites? They're all very well, they're in bed." And he came to me, this new fella, this doctor. I didn't know the doctor then. And he turned to us, he said, "You know, sister, you're a lucky woman. All these nice young fellas to look after." Well, my blood's boiling, I had a job and I'm in there for months. Oh, I'll get my worked up. Anyway, he said to me, "How are you?" I says, "I'm not very well, sir." Well, eyes peered at me. So he says, "No, why?" I said, "Well, I wouldn't be in this bed if I was very well. I'd be working. I've a job." "Oh," he says, "well, what's your problem?" I says, "Abscesses on the stump." "Eh? How have you got them?" I said, "We're in a cheap inferior Alexa." He says, "Who's made it?" I said, "It's that cheap, they didn't put the name on." I said, "They've just stamped on, it's AL Limited, over there, I don't know." He had a whispered conversation with the surgeon, one of the surgeons, and that. And I said, "Look, don't take my word for it, sir. You have my papers here." I was discharged in 1918, and it's now 1936. I've never had 1 minute's apath of treatment in that time. Till I go on a cheap leg. And not only that, 70% of them in here are all the same. Being on a cheap leg, so you say, it's costing you 10 times more than if you paid, we had his right legs. And do you know, when I went down for a fitting, my papers were in London. And they scrapped it. And they went back to other old showcases, were put back with legs in. Well, it cost him more, putting you on cheap legs. And it was this holding that were doing it. He was the fellow that got the contract.
He was the AL.
Yeah, yeah. It was his firm. doing it. A consortium of firms got together to make this cheap leg to get the contract. And now, after all this, it's started up again.
What, cheap legs?
Yeah. It's started now. Hangars have got scrapped, all Blatchford have got scrapped, everybody.
You mean the old firms?
Yes, all the old firms. And the Swedish firms making a new leg, ultra modern leg. And it's 35% cheaper than theirs. And it's a better leg.
It's better?
It's better, but I can't have an old man. You can't. It's all a different way of fitting. And my doctor advised, never have one altered, Bill. He says, keep the type you have. And I lost some weight, and I wanted it repairing. Just lining in, because I don't like to wear two stumps up. But they didn't, they put pad in, a pad there, till I was sat on 3 points. And then we found out what they're doing. When you go up for repair, they can't repair it. You have to try on and then patch it up best way they can. And we found out now, they're making it so you can't wear it. So you go to the doctor and they'll condemn it. And they have to buy one of their new ones. And I don't want one. I have two legs out of action. And I went up to wear that. But that, and I've got this here, something light now. I can walk about, but not as well as I could. I never walked with a stick till this last been altered. Anyway.
So, but now, the thing is, in your opinion, this Swedish leg's good, but it's not right for you.
Well, it's a different type of fitting. I have shoulder straps to hold mine on. These have a belt round here, and doctors say, I would never advise you to have one, not at your age.
But you're not actually criticising the Swedish leg?
Oh no, it's a good leg for them that's used to it. Mm.
Now,
but anyway,
when did you come back to Blesma?
Well, Blesma, I went during the war, as I told you, when the war broke out, I thought, the worst thing that happened to me was, there was nobody come to see me to tell me how things could be worked and what was going to happen to me. And I worked. I used to dress very smart. People all said I was always dressed smart. I had a job and I could walk well. So, right, I'm going up to that hospital to see, have a talk to the chaps and tell them, let them see what I can do and that. And I met Blesmer again up there, fellow, Mr. Wold, and I joined in with him, and I carried on for 13 years going up there. I joined Blesmer again.
So you buried your differences?
Yes, I buried my differences, because I was helping the fellas in the hospital.
Were they appreciative?
Oh, yes, they used to look forward to it. And the fellas I've known had a wounded leg, couldn't hardly walk. I know one in particular. I said, when you're at work, I said, how do you go? Does it still hurt? He says, yes. But they've allowed me to have a box there to put my leg. I said, well, I says, actually, I wouldn't stick it. If I were you, I'd have it off. He says, they want to take it off. I said, I tell you what, you'll be free of all them pain. And you can walk about. He says, if I walk like you were, I'd have it. He had it off. And he never looked back. He became a secretary. One at Branches. And the sawers, we used to go every Sunday, walking down ward, we're all dressed smart, and we took them cigarettes and that, and talked to them, and explained to things how they go on and all that. And it made them happy. It gave them something to think about. Somebody were helping them. And I thought, well, that my bit of joy I got out. I used to go every Sunday at 1 o'clock, till 7 o'clock at night.
And you kept this up during the war years and after?
And after, for 13 years.
Now, you said that about the chap with a bad leg, that he would be better off, rather than have a crippled leg dragged round with, he'd be better with it off.
Yes.
Now, do you think that might have applied to you, because you'd had your leg smashed at the
knee? Well, that just depends, I don't know. That it could have been. But he was in agony all the time, and he couldn't walk. He went to work and they let him sit there at a desk with his leg up in agony, taking dope tablets to kill pain.
So you mean you never had a chance to see?
No.
That's what you objected to?
No. Mm. And he eventually had it off, and the doctors wanted him to have it off, but they won't take it off, he says no. And he decided then, after he talked to me, to have it off. And I met quite a lot that used to think, look forward to us and talking. Well, we made over 1,000 members, I and these two other fellas. And that's what we got that certificate for.
Yes,
that.
You've got two meritorious that's service certificates.
That's for meritorious service we're making, and that was for 40 years service.
And what were the other functions of Blesmer, in your view?
Oh, well, they always looked after their own men, you know. If anyone was poorly, welfare fellow went out, and pensions. Now then, there's another thing. Discharged in 1919.
You were discharged in
1919? Yes. Do you know when I got my real pension? When I retired.
What was your problem with the pension? Because you were obviously disabled.
Yes. Well, see, mid-thigh is between there and that joint there. Now, when I was in Army Day, they were down to cut you down to a minimum. And when they measured me, when you had an amputation, your leg's fat and the flesh sags down. So I had a slide rule, and it just came up to touch the flesh to there. And if that's half, below the half of that, you only get 60%. But they should take it, press it up to the bone. Because then it's like just a bit of skin holding. They don't measure flesh, they measure bone. But they didn't. And they found out, when I went to be measured, I tried to claim off it myself. I wrote them up and told them. And they sent me to a doctor.
Yeah. So they gave you 60%?
Yes.
At first?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Then this I applied for this. And they sent me to a doctor. I live at Earls, and Beeson's 7 miles the other side of Leeds. To go, make me go that far, where nobody knew me, to a doctor that didn't. He says, what have I to do? He got his papers. I says, you have to measure from here to there. And then from here to there, bone, from here to there. And if this is under half, I get 70%. If it's over, I get 60. Measure. Oh, it's well under. Right. Thank you. That's all you have to do. Right. Sent it off. Several weeks after, I got another letter to say, would I go to such and such a doctor and address the other side of Leeds, another point of Leeds, to go another 7 miles away, where I wasn't known. This doctor asked the same, he told me, and he measured me and said, yes. Next news, I get a letter from London saying, this correspondence is now closed. There'll be no further correspondence in this matter. This is now closed. That was then. Shut up. And it went and couldn't do a thing about it.
When was that?
Oh, I don't know, about 1935 or something like that.
What's the next thing you heard?
And next thing, when I'm in Blesmer, and when I retired, I seemed to do more in Blesmer than that.
That was one of Blesmer's functions,
was
his pension business.
Yes, so we're this welfare chap, a welfarer called Harry Cranage. He won at Patience that I made him member. And I was telling him, oh, he says, I'll write up Bill about it and we'll see about it. And well, what they do, we had a solicitor down in London, head office. And he wrote all my details and sent it to him. And they sent me to a medical board of the war pensions. And he measured it. He says, definitely. He says, it should be 70%. I said, no, but I've been having 16, they won't take any notice of me. Right, they will now. And they come through, I got 70%. But I couldn't have all back pay.
Why not?
No, they said you can only have back pay from when you applied. That was when Harry Cranage applied. When I applied early, they didn't count that. They gave me £1,000 back pay, but I should have had 6 or 7. Well, 42 years. At 10% a week.
Did that make you feel gross?
It made me feel bitter, but when I was working, I didn't mind, as long as I got it. No, but I didn't get it when I was working, but it didn't bother me.
What else does Blesmer do?
They do anything that's possible for, like this home. It was an old house, they bought it, and made it into an hospital, and they bought all, built all these buildings on. They did another home in Southsea, down by Southampton, another in Creve. But that one down against Southampton, that closed it down because nobody'd go.
Why not?
I don't know. We didn't know that. But Blesmer didn't seem to get old. But when I joined Blesmer, there was only two branches in the whole of the country. It started in Glasgow, and then Manchester, and then Leeds. And it blossomed from that. And in there, if you look in there, there's...
You can't see it on the text, if you just tell
us. Oh, no. It's a programme for a dance I and another chap organised at Leeds Town Hall, when nobody knew anything about Blesmer. And we got this fella, Taylor, with me. He knew a lot about this here organising, and he sent letters to all these big people, all dignitaries of Leeds, and they all came